What's your favorite film?
God, that's awful.
Favorite?
Awful.
Awful.
Your favorite
film is awful.
Hello, and welcome to Your Favorite Film is Awful, the weekly podcast where we invite guests on to defend their favorite films against negative reviews. As always, I am Luke, the awful, and with me as always, the awe-filled. It's Charlie, how you doing?
What? Awe-filled,
yeah, did you say? To be full of awe.
Never heard of that in my life. But anyway, I'm magic. How are you, Luke? Are you good, mate?
I'm good. Are you sure you're magic? You seem very confused.
I was confused by the opening, but yeah, I enjoyed it at the same time. So, are you good, though?
I am good. Do you have a guest?
I do have a guest.
Good. Could you introduce that guest for me, please?
The guest today is a friend and a writer. Say hello, O'Connor.
Hello, O'Connor.
That was my Jeff Goldblum. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
O'Connor.
That's so literal. I love it. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm just very happy to be here.
And we're very happy that you're here.
Very excited to find out exactly why my favourite film is awful.
Which is certain. It is fact. Written in stone.
Yeah.
However, what have you been up to this week? Have you done anything interesting? Watched any good films?
The only thing I've seen this week is The Lighthouse. And that was a ride.
It was very fun.
That was very good. I came out of the cinema not knowing what I'd just seen. And very much trying to interpret whether what I'd seen was real or not real. But I came to the conclusion that I don't care because it was very fun.
I can agree.
Fair enough.
It was good fun.
It was good.
And Charlie, what about you?
I haven't watched much this week, Luke. I know. This is shocking.
Who are you and what have you done with my co-host?
A busy week. I know.
Like, who the fuck are you?
I know. What's happened?
Get the fuck off my show.
I know.
If you're not Charlie the film guy, you're Charlie the nothing.
Oh, wow. Fuck. Yeah. Fair.
I'm sure you've done. Have you rewatched anything noteworthy? Have you done anything noteworthy?
Like, yes.
There are also options that you could have done.
That's true. Okay, I'll tell you what I did do. For Galentine's Day, I went with the lads to watch Booksmart at the Prince Charles.
Okay.
We were like the only dudes in the room, but we had a great time. Although, when the film went quiet for a bit, one of my friends burped and everyone heard. And it was just funny because it was just like, we were already the only fucking dudes in there. It's just like these chimps coming, burping and fucking, you know what I mean? During this movie. But yeah, that was quite funny.
You sound like the worst type of
people. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was funny. But no, it was so much fun because everyone there was there to see the film and probably already fans. So it was just like a whale of a time. Everyone was laughing at the right times. Like, I mean, the Prince Charles for me anyway is like the perfect cinema for that anyway because everyone who's there is there to watch the movie and have a great time.
Gotta love the Prince Charles.
Yeah.
Saw Promare there, the anime thing, recently. And I was really expecting like a negative experience just because you get a lot of fans of something in the room and then suddenly you can't hear the film over just the sheer, I don't know, one-liners. But no, they were very, very well-behaved.
No, everyone's respectful there as
well.
Yeah,
very much so.
They're proper film fans that go there, so you don't get any dickheads.
No.
But so I watched that and I rewatched Four Lions as well.
Classic.
Which is a classic, funny film.
Yeah.
It was funny because I watched it with people. I showed it to my family. And no one liked it but me. Actually, quite surprised. I thought everyone would. But no, just me. Laughing my ass off.
It is of a certain taste. I remember the first time I watched it, I didn't enjoy it. But then, isn't that the same director who did something fairly recently that I enjoyed?
The Day Shall Come.
Because I really enjoyed The Day Shall Come, but I don't remember liking Four Lions.
That's funny because I didn't really like The Day Shall Come, I felt a bit.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was really excited for it. I think I felt a little bit let down. There's some funny moments. Well, I've just realised, I think I did watch something new. I think I watched Hellraiser.
So you genuinely looked me in the eyes and lied.
I did. But then I looked in your eyes and found that I'd watched Hellraiser.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better.
There you go.
Which Hellraiser?
The original, the first one.
Okay, and what did you think?
The first time I've ever seen it. It's so much fun. I actually had a great time. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
I didn't realise do you know what I love about it? The monsters, like the inventions of them. They're really cool. The effects are really fun as well. I don't know. I've got a real soft spot for films with like old school practical effects that really try and make these really original, weird looking monsters. Like there's bits, some really creepy stuff in it. I really like the idea as well. I think the concept was great. Just had a great time with it really all around. Like I get why it's A cult classic. Yeah, exactly. I get that. Very low budget as well. And I actually didn't know it was British. You know, I never knew that Hellraiser was British until I watched it. That's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess when I did watch it, I wasn't thinking, where did this come from? I was just thinking, am I enjoying this?
Yeah. That's what you mean. Yeah, it was just set. It's all set in Britain, isn't it? It's really weird. But yeah, Luke, what have you been up to, mate?
Well, one of us should carry the weight of watching films. Oh, yes. So I
took
that load. The
co-host has let you down, so the other co-host has to pick him back up. That's how it works.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Ooh.
I think that's a pretty good system.
Yeah. I watched three films.
Go on.
I'm still on that three film train.
I'm very much happy about this, you know?
Yes, yes. I'm not. It's given me no spare time to do literally anything else.
Yeah, what else should you do? You know, I watch movies, come on. What more is there to life?
I don't know. There's some new shows on Netflix or something, yes. I guess. Okay, so I'm going to do this in... Let's do least favorite to favorite.
Okay,
so my least favorite was Doolittle. I watched Doolittle with Robert Downey Jr.
I see.
Honestly, you go in there thinking it's going to be shit, thinking you're not going to have a good time, you're going to have a bit of a good time. You just lower those standards, and you'll have a good time. His accent's a little off, and like there's no real range of emotion. He kind of just gets louder or quieter, and that is his range of emotions with that weird Welsh accent. Otherwise, though, it's fine. No. I could tell at some point in the film that the boy, because it's Doolittle and his like assistant. And the assistant, I could tell that if Tom Holland wasn't as famous as he is, would have been that guy.
Yeah.
It was just like, it made sense with what the chemistry they were trying to do. Like, that should have been Tom Holland, but he's too big, too much money. The next film I watched was, oh, well, now I've stumbled because they're both about equal, but they're completely different films. So I'm just going to say Queen and Slim.
Oh, yes.
Dying to watch that.
Love Queen and Slim.
And you should continue to fucking die because you need to go watch it. It's great.
That's excellent.
It's so good.
Because I've heard really mixed things, you know.
Seriously.
Like, I've seen people like really hating on it. So that's why I'm really excited.
Racist.
To watch it.
Absolutely. They're all racist.
Scum. Scumbags.
Yeah.
No, it's really
I've
good.
Heard there's like a sex scene that people are not happy about.
Oh, yeah. So the reason it's drawing is because some of the editing choices are a bit fucking weird.
Well, it's made by a music video director, I'm pretty sure. This is his first
film.
That
makes sense.
That does kind of check out.
Does it? Does it?
Yeah.
Because, like, with no spoilers, there are two scenes where they come into the scene talking away, lips are flapping, but then their lips stop moving, but the voiceover continues.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll start talking with lips moving again. And it's like, okay, so they filmed this. They wanted to add more dialogue in post-production, I'm assuming, but then didn't want to reshoot the scenes.
I'm really intrigued
like,
by that.
That's how it felt to me. And I was just like, the fuck, why? Mm. I would have rather watched actors talking.
Okay. I tell you bizarre. What, there's a Key and Peele sketch, which is really bad that I was thinking of during this moment, but it's the whole black people telepathy thing. Where black people just can communicate without moving their mouths. And I feel like Queen and Slim in those scenes was the embodiment of that sketch.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it was a joke I just wasn't getting. And then, of course, there is that sex scene, which the sex scene on its own isn't an issue. It's that it's quick cuts with another scene, which is of high emotion. That you're meant to really be like, oh,
okay, yeah,
fuck,
don't say too
fuck,
much because I really want to watch it, so don't say that's enough. Yeah, but you liked
enough.
It, but it's good.
Yeah, overall good. Above average film. It's good times. And the last one that I watched on, what are we calling? Galentine's. Is that what
you
call it?
Yeah, apparently, that's what I see. That was Galentine's. The link said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, some of us had more of a Palentine's, unfortunately.
Yeah, I thought Palentine's.
Yeah. Palentine's.
But yeah, my plans for Valentine's, I'm not going to beat around the bush, were completely unromantic. I went with a friend to watch Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh! Lovely.
And it was... The film itself was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the tried and true story of character from another world comes to ours and does some shit and there's conflict or whatever. It's that sort of thing. However, I feel it's perfected that formula because it's not a character from another universe coming into ours and helping the humans with their shit. It's character from another universe coming into ours and humans helping them with their shit, which is good.
That is quite interesting, actually.
Well, yeah. Well, no, my example... So I watched a couple of reviews to be like, okay, maybe I was thinking about this weirdly. The Smurfs... In one of the Smurfs films, they come and help Neil Patrick Harris with his relationship problems, but this is Sonic coming and them helping Sonic with his problem, which is nice, and I liked that.
Okay, interesting.
However,
Jim Carrey though?
Jim Carrey's great.
That's what I'm excited about.
He's like a lower version of his 90s time.
Because I wanted full Jim Carrey.
It's full Jim Carrey for Jim Carrey we have now.
Now, I see. Okay.
Exactly. However, the reason I specified the film was good was because my movie experience was bad because some fucking youths came in half an hour into the fucking film, started just chatting away, fucking playing with their phones. They had that flash thing when you get a text, and they were swearing at the screen.
Oh,
a film for children kids, where there were actual kids.
That's some serious bullshit.
You are fucking assholes.
I was worried that you were going to say the movie experience was ruined for you because Sonic fans came in who are notoriously bad. I mean, I'm saying that as a Sonic fan, so yeah, I can kind of get away with it.
No. I think as a Sonic fan, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Oh, man. Yeah, since birth, man. Yeah. I came out of the womb playing Sonic Adventure. Oh, my God.
Do you guys know my controversial opinions about Sonic?
Oh, do we want to know?
I don't know. You might not want to be my friend. Afterwards.
Spill the beans.
I still debate whether I want to be your friend or not.
Don't blame you. I don't think they're very good games. I'm going to go out there. I have never quite enjoyed them. I much prefer Mario.
Charlie, when you invited me on this podcast, I thought you called it your favourite film is awful. Not your favourite thing ever in the history of the world is awful.
I know. I apologise. I know. Pretty good, a lot of people get the ump with me about it.
Yeah. No, there's some stinkers. There are some proper stinkers.
Yeah, maybe I played one of those.
Yeah.
No,
play Sonic 3D. Sonic 3D.
Wait, I think that's the one I watched you play before, like back in the day.
Oh, wait, what in... No, because I think we installed Sonic Riders on my computer. Oh, we were just playing it. Oh, man.
That was good.
Those were the days. Fantastic. Anyway.
Pull this tangent back onto the road, because... Yep.
Good idea.
Like, I feel like you guys could just chat about Sonic for far longer than want us to.
I'm about to set up my own podcast right now.
How about Sonic?
Yeah, just about Sonic.
Fair enough. Not right now, though.
Yeah. Okay, let's give it an hour.
Yeah.
Let's give it an hour.
So you're on your favourite film is awful.
I am indeed.
You have brought a favourite film,
I have brought a film.
And you will now tell us what that film is.
That film is Jojo Rabbit.
Okay, and for those at home who either haven't seen it recently or haven't seen it at all, what is that film about?
Jojo Rabbit is about a child as part of the Hitler Youth who has such a sheer belief in the Nazi regime that his imaginary friend is Adolf Hitler. Unfortunately for him, his belief in Nazism is tested when he realizes that his mother is keeping a Jewish girl in their attic and is actually not a Nazi at all. Mm. So, yes, he discovers what it is to be an empathetic human being and not a fascist.
Yes.
Through his relationship with this girl.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
that's a great summary.
That's a good summary. Now, listeners at home, hopefully, will have listened to mine and Charlie's top 10.
Oh, yes, they have, yeah.
So they'll know that Jojo Rabbit, at the time of recording, was up there for me. I think it was number one for me.
It was your number one, yes.
However,
Uncut Gems came out and changed everything. Yes.
Uncut Gems came out and changed nothing. Parasite came out and blew my mind.
Of course.
But what I was going to say, actually, was over time, and in my experience of finding negative reviews and rewatching the film, I have discovered a kind of groundbreaking fact. And that is the fact that Jojo Rabbit is fucking awful. It is the worst film ever made, worthy of 0 out of 10 from Columbus 116, with a nice short review for the both of you, just to really seal the deal and nail home the fact that it's a fucking bad film. And the review goes as such: not funny, didn't laugh.
I mean, each to their own, I suppose.
Yeah.
Each to their own. I mean, you can't just defend your film by saying each their own, people have opinions. That opinion, Columbus, what was the number?
116.
Columbus 116 is objectively wrong. Because even if you didn't laugh, you probably laughed internally. And just if, you know, even if you just breathed out air from your nose, still counts. Still counts.
It's true. Yeah, also, you know, I watched it with someone who didn't find it funny, but thought it was a good movie. So you don't necessarily need to... Because I think it's, you know, they were saying they thought it was a good story. The story of this child being sort of redeemed, I guess, essentially through, you know, establishing empathy in himself through meeting a Jewish lady. But the humour didn't make them laugh, but they still enjoyed the movie, which I thought was interesting.
I feel like for this movie to be successful, the humour has to land.
I know, and that's what I think.
So
yeah.
I find that very confusing.
I know, I thought that as well. But then that also, I think, says a lot about the film itself, that the story is just
it's strong.
Tale. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why I included it. This review is because, is a comedy only a good comedy if it's funny comedy instead of a comedy that makes you think about shit?
Yeah, if it lives for its jokes rather than for the story it's trying to tell. Whereas I think this film tells a story but is also hilarious, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think tonally it balances it brilliantly.
Yeah.
To the point where it could almost trick you into thinking that it's just a comedy till it hits you with the message, you know, and that's what you're there for.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd find myself sort of being vulnerable through them making me laugh, like the characters, and then the next minute something real would happen and it would fucking suck my soul away from me.
Absolutely.
And I would feel it more than I probably would feel it in a film that's tone is like that the whole way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a serious tone.
You feel it more.
Yeah, and I think that's what this film really does a great job of balancing.
It might be something that people are more critical of, but it almost falls you into forgetting that it's not about Nazis in the Second World War. You know, your guard is down through a lot of that film until it brings it back.
It reminds you of how harrowing it was.
Well, exactly.
So it's interesting that you said about the Nazis, because I have another half-star review from Space Cop the Disney Shill.
He's a space cop and a Disney show.
Indeed.
Amazing.
And in the review itself, they actually say that it's 0.5 out of 10. This film is promoting Nazis. I thought Taika was a good director after making the masterpiece that is Thor Ragnarok. But no, he reveals himself to be nothing more than a Jew-hating piece of trash. Don't tell me his mother is Jewish, because that changes nothing.
Very interesting. So, pro-Nazi. Jojo Rabbit is pro-Nazi, is what this person is trying to say.
It's promoting Nazis.
It's promoting Nazism. I find that very hard to believe. I think the real issue... It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Because the issue here is, can you make a satire mocking Nazis? Can you paint them in this kind of... In this silly sort of visage? Or does that completely undermine the tragedy of the Holocaust? So I think... This review completely undermines that question. You can't just say that it's promoting Nazism and not give a reason why. Why is it promoting Nazism?
You can, and this person has done that.
Apparently so, but I'm assuming this came from a Letterboxd and not a published review.
I will not state my sources for reviews at this time.
No, fair enough, of course. But no, the thing is, how does it?
Well, I think why I find it so strange that someone would think this is because clearly the movie is constantly taking the piss out of Nazism. I mean, it's pointing out the ludicrousness. I mean, the scene where they do the Heil Hitlers, it's showing you that they actually had to walk into a room and say Heil Hitler, and like how fucking stupid that is and how funny it is that they don't do that. You know what I mean? They had to do that. Or like the fact that they fought Jewish people were demons with, you know, these pointy ears and slept like bats. You know what I mean? Like, it's clearly making out like they're actually morons. You can tell that from the opening scene alone where Rebel Wilson's talking about, oh, yes, the women, we have to, it's a good to bear children. It's great to be a woman and all this. And I just feel like there's so much in this movie that clearly points to not wanting. Do you know what I mean? Like, the whole point of the movie is that this boy learns to not be a Nazi.
Yeah.
And that being a Nazi is wrong. And... Do you know what I mean? So I don't understand how someone could say it's pro-Nazi.
Every single line in this film is reaffirming how stupid the whole thing is. Yeah. I mean, when Sam Rockwell's character is like, I wish more young boys had your blind fantasism. You know, this blind belief in this. You know, every single thing is just saying, look at these guys, eh? No, but the danger is, it's kind of been done. like people have done this. I mean, Nazis are an easy target because obviously they fucking suck. But I don't think that's a reason why you should say that this film promotes Nazism or this film shouldn't be made.
Yeah, I'm just baffled by anyone saying that it promotes Nazism or empathizes. I mean, I think the thing that people I have heard say is that, oh, you know, it's making you empathize with this Hitler Youth child. It's like, well, this kid was brought up in, he didn't know any different.
Absolutely.
And it's not trying to justify any of the actions. It's just trying to let you know that, like, this happened and this is not this kid's fault. And he, it's about him trying to learn to not, you know what I mean? Like, to learn. He doesn't know any, he doesn't know right from wrong.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How can, do you know what I mean? Like, how can you have a go at that kid who doesn't know? Do you know what I mean? It's strange to me. And I think to not tell that story is dangerous in itself because that definitely happened.
Absolutely.
And what I think's amazing about this film is that it's telling a story that people don't necessarily have, you know, it wouldn't have the balls to tell. It's a very ballsy thing for him to do, but I think it's clearly pointing out how wrong it is. Constantly reminds you. I mean, the main moral centre of the movie, essentially, is his mother, played by Scarlett Johansson, and she's completely against it all, clearly, the whole way through. Like, I mean, to the point where, you know, you've seen this movie, if you're watching this, she is killed for it. And that's through that is when Harry learns. I just don't understand. I really am finding it difficult to understand why people think this sympathizes with Nazis. I think it constantly takes the piss out of them. Like, all the, like, literally every joke is a joke on
at
Nazis.
Their expense.
I mean, Hitler is played by essentially a Maui guy. He'd have been so annoyed to find out he was played by someone like, do you know what I mean? There's so many jokes, like, I'm lost for words with it. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't understand how you could think that watching this movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, even down to when there's that line about Jojo discovering that his great 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 grandfather wasn't Aryan or something like
that. He didn't have blonde hair. Yeah.
Or when they make a reference to like clones, and then the camera pans, and you just see all those blonde kids standing there. Like, I mean, it's just it takes Nazi tropes and it completely obliterates them.
Okay, so you actually brought up an interesting point that I want to touch back on. You said about how if you ridicule Nazis, doesn't that not have a damaging effect on the millions that they killed? Because if you were like, oh, look at this fucking dumbass motherfucker, la 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 la, they can't do anything, they enter a room and have to fuck about for 5 minutes, are you not then saying that the people that died as a consequence of these people are then lesser because they were able to get caught and killed by such a stupid piece of shit?
I would say no. Well, they're people with idiotic ideals. It doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, it's like a caveman would walk in and has the ability to probably beat us up because he's a big meathead, you know what I mean? Whatever, or kill us. But does it mean that we're any less because he's stupid? Do you know what I mean? Do you agree? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like it can be dangerous and it can be problematic because this is a very, very important topic. But I think Taika's the person to do it, and he's the person who's managed to do it successfully with decorum and with grace. It's the tonal shift, I think, that's just the masterclass in this film, how he's been able to balance good humour and this sort of this moral tale, essentially. I mean, there's no reason, I think, why we shouldn't just be allowed to say, fuck off Hitler. Like, it might be like revisionist history, but, you know, there's so much.
That reminded me, sorry to cut you up your point.
No, no worries.
The fact that someone thinks this is like pro-Nazis. He was like, they literally tell Hitler to fuck off and he kicks him out of the window. But anyway.
Yeah. But it's still pro-Nazis because there's a trampoline on the pavement, basically, and he comes back.
Yeah.
But we should be able to tell Hitler to fuck off because we're angry about this kind of stuff. And I know it was a long time ago, but people are still passionate about the fact that there are Nazis out there. There are still Nazis. There are still fascists out there. There are still horrible people. And we should be able to make a mockery of them. If we couldn't make a mockery of someone, then what are we doing? You know, when you open the newspaper and you see a political cartoon about Boris Johnson, you know, I mean, I'm not comparing him to Hitler, no way, of course, but we should be able to take these people down. And Hitler might be an easy target because people have been making jokes at the Nazis' expense for years and there's been a lot of comedy about Nazis, but
well, he deserves it.
He deserves it.
Yeah, he deserves to take the piss out of
it. Yeah. I want to see it. I live to see it. It's fun. I mean, this is a comedy. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, I just I think it's weird that people feel like we can't take the piss out of horrible people. I mean, he's one of the horrible people ever. I don't know. It's just like, also, he, you know, like to your point earlier, I think people can still be intelligent in different ways, but ignorant in a lot of other ways. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's clearly obviously what was going on with all that stuff. But regardless of that, I think this movie, you know, like you said, it balances the tones really well. I think it balances the tone of showing you how harrowing and horrible the situation was, but also mocking the Nazis and their ideals, but then also showing, you know, the strength and the shit situation that the Jewish people had to be in. I mean, she's literally mocking the Nazis the whole way through the movie, like, and taking the piss out of the kid by saying, you think that I'm a demon with all these, do you know what I mean? Like, my horns haven't grown yet. Like, but he's like literally making them into it. Do you know what I mean? Like, treating him like how stupid and the fucking ideals were. And like I said earlier, Taika Waititi constantly reminds us of how silly some of these ideals, even down to the, just their greetings, like we said earlier.
Yeah, so silly. And the thing is, I think a lot of people who don't like this film are saying, or people I've heard, they're talking about Roman Griffin Davis, and they're saying, oh, he's such a cute kid, but he's such a cute Nazi kid. And the thing is, what's interesting about this film is he's a child, and children were indoctrinated into this belief, you know. And that's all they've ever really known. It's about a kid who, to sort of stave off loneliness, to find belonging, has adapted to this horrible belief system. And it's something that happens. So, I mean, when is that ever explored? It's great to see.
I agree. I think people nowadays want everything to be black and white, good and evil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything's... They don't want to think about the possibility of there being a fucking weird middle ground. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Of things. There's no nuance anymore. It's weird. Like, I think it's really important that this story has been told, because this did happen, you know. There was children that were indoctrinated, and you have to see it through their eyes and understand that like we said, they didn't have a choice. They don't know any different. They're completely ignorant. They're not around Jewish people all the time, so they're being told of this stuff. You would, as a kid, you would just think, oh, that's the enemy. You have no idea, you have no concept of the real life world. So I don't understand how someone can blame the child on in that front to an extent, do you know what I'm saying? But that this film is exploring that weird ground.
Yeah, and it's
we perfect, don't no one wants to talk about.
It's perfect coverage for a movie. It's the classic story of someone having a belief in something, and then that's challenged. He's challenged at the most, you know, to the most extreme. The worst thing to him would be discovering that his mother is anti-Nazi. Yeah. Harboring a Jewish girl in the attic, you know, that's, and we're seeing someone pushed to become a better person and to kind of find their footing in a greater society, I think.
Would this film have worked if it was an adult who was being redeemed? Maybe not. No, probably not. I could understand the criticism more, but the fact that it's a child that doesn't know any better, and he's the son of a mother who is trying to make a difference, who's trying to protect the Jewish people, you know, I think that says in itself, I think, I feel like. It's a hard, tough one, because I think this film depends on how people take the tone of the movie. Like, it depends on if people can like the fact that there's jokes and then there's serious moments and how they balance for that. I know there's a lot of people that don't like that. The big conversation we spoke about before with The Last Jedi and stuff, with the humour in that. But for me, I mean, I really like when people push or the audience and make the audience sort of feel a bit dirtier in terms of, oh, I laughed a minute ago, oh wait, now you're showing me that I shouldn't have been, or, you know what I mean, like, this is serious, and, you know, challenges the audience more. And I think that's what this movie does. It challenges us to think about a scenario in a different way. And a movie I can compare it to is, I believe it's a Rossellini film called Germany Year Zero, about a child growing up post World War II and dealing with the guilt that Germany held after, you know, that time period. And this film gave me similar vibes to that, except it was set obviously during that time. And I just feel like, I don't know, I just think to not tell this story would be just ignoring history. You know what I mean? In a weird way. And then, although he's making jokes out of it, I don't think you could. I like that he tried to do that at the same time. I like that he tried to push us as an audience. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I did feel pushed watching that. But yeah. It's not the kind of thing that you're normally... I think it's not something we expect to find humour in, but it's a great, you know, sort of bed for it to be dug into. And I mean, yeah, there was the earlier thing that Taika can get away with it because he's Jewish. And I think that certainly maybe helps in the initial perception of something like this. But I think it's all face value. When you look into this film on a deeper level, you just... Well, I mean, when you look into this film, you'll realize that he's just telling a story about finding empathy. That's what it is. It's trying to, you know, it's the lack of hatred.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Interesting.
Do you not agree then, Nick?
I think there's something that's like in my brain. There's something. I think it's might be part of your point saying that there's like some really dark bits. When, in my opinion, the only bit where you go, oh shit, I shouldn't have been, that would be the bit when Scarlett Johansson died.
Mm.
And that's probably the darkest it goes.
Yeah, I agree.
In a film about Nazism and about the Holocaust and everything. So the argument could be made that it is taking the lighter, easier to mock elements rather than at all. Because I don't remember, like, I watched it fairly recently, but I don't remember anything about concentration camps or any of the really dark stuff that they did. It's just the Gestapo's there looking for the Jew girl, but being a mockery of themselves. You've got the Hitler Youth, and of course, like, I feel the Hitler Youth was a good canvas for Taika to use, because it is that the kids don't know any better. Mm. It's they're burning all this Jewish literature, but not really. No, they're just thinking they're like having a fucking sleepover camping fire. It's all hunky-dory, happy, until he has to kill a rabbit and then doesn't and then gets the nickname, thus the title of the film. So I can understand where, like, not hiding it, but not casting any light on the darker stuff about the Nazis. Because, of course, if you go, oh yeah, la 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 la, we've got all this jokes, but then go, by the way, don't forget this shit. Because it's showing history, but it's only showing the history that can be made fun of, rather than going, hey, here's the history that can be made fun of. There's also this bit that can be there and was really bad, and that's why you shouldn't empathize with these nasty, nasty people. Mm. But it kind of just, it doesn't show that stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to see how something like that would work in the context of this film.
Yeah. But I think it's still very much showing that they're bad people. Do you know what I mean? You don't necessarily need to see that stuff to know that they're terrible human beings.
I think a lot of it's in the exposition from Elsa's character, isn't it? About her parents.
You get the idea that they were sent off to the camps.
Oh yeah, they got put on a train that no one comes back from or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But even so, I suppose you could argue that her character is just a sort of foil to challenge Jojo throughout the course of the film, so it doesn't need to be explored in any particular depth. So I think it's a fair criticism to say that obviously it doesn't explore the whole horror of the Holocaust, but that's not what this film sets out to do. It's looking at this very particular slice, shall we say, of World War II, of a child's experience of it on the wrong side.
I do think she is a great character though, because I think she has her own moments of what's the point? They're just going to win. I'm going to be, do you know what I mean? I'm just going to be living the rest of my life in this cupboard, essentially. And I think it's really good that you have those moments, because it makes you realise, like, this is fucking insane.
Yeah.
This is fucking crazy. And it, I mean, maybe the people have said that it doesn't, you know, capture the horrors of the war as much as they'd liked, but I found myself nearly, like, in tears towards the end. Because I was reminded that this fucking happened. Like, this movie will make a joke and it's realised that it's its own weird, wonderful, kind of goofy world, but also is something that happened. But then it will have moments where I'm like, fuck, man, this fucking happened. This is awful. You know what I mean? And I felt that. So it's tough to argue with people that, you know, they felt different about that. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I just feel like you said the horrible stuff, like, we're seeing this movie through the perspective of the child. So the whole movie is through a childish point of view. That's why everything's very silly and stuff. When his mum dies, to us, that shows us everything we need to know about how nasty the Nazis were. As much as all the other stuff, but that shows you, because it's something that, as a character, we're seeing the movie through the eyes of the child, right? So for his mum to be killed says everything. Do you know what I'm saying? In terms of these are horrible people, you know, because she was such an incredibly lovely human being and such a great mother that we're seeing throughout. who wanted to just be in a world of joy and dancing. And that's why I think it really fucking gets to me. You know what I mean? When, like, she's killed because so many people with that personality were killed for fucking stupid ideals like this. And it's so hard to argue, but with someone about this, especially when they're not here or debate with them, but I think it does come down to the way you interpret the tone of the film.
I can agree with this.
Yeah.
However, Trunkus gives it a 0 out of 10.
Ooh.
The trailer for the film could not be more misleading. It represents the film as a bright, brilliant, laugh-a-minute, over-the-top, fast-like extravaganza. It's not. It drags. Oh, does it drag. It virtually stops dead in its tracks. Scenes that should have been 2-3 minutes go on and on. Characters and situations that are funny are few and far between. My problem, unlike other reviewers here, it's not with the subject matter. Sure, it's not everyone's cup of tea. But whether or not you feel the subject is film worthy, this is a dead film. As was the audience at my screening.
Well, I want to know what screening he went to and what film he saw. Or she, sorry. I don't specify. I thought it was very well paced. I thought the scenes lasted as long as I'd want those scenes to last. And obviously we both laughed and we both cried.
Yep.
It did everything we wanted a film to do. It's interesting that they felt missold by the trailer. If anything, it's the mark of a good trailer to sort of show something that's different to what you see in the cinema. So you've actually got surprises to look forward to. When you can guess the whole narrative of the film from these 2 minutes that you're shown, and then suddenly you're hit with the actual exploration into, you know, the horror of this, which wasn't shown in the trailer.
Mm.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, well, each to their own. One man's meat, I say, but...
Yeah, I think the pacing's brilliant. Like, for me, it's an hour 40? An hour 48, I think? And it's... For me, it flies by. I mean, because... One, I really like the characters in the movie. It's fucking funny. And the story, I think, is an interesting story. I never felt a moment where I was checking my watch at all. And I feel like it was constantly surprising me, the film.
Me too.
It kept taking turns. I was not expecting Scarlett Johansson's delight. And also, can we just talk about the actual perfection of the way that is delivered? The fact that we have this constant sort of motif of the shoelaces being tied, and we keep seeing her shoes, and sometimes we wouldn't even see her face, we'd see her shoes, setting us up, mate, for that moment where, you know, she's hung, and we never see her face, we just see her shoes, and it's all you need. And it's so fucking... It's even more, I think, even more gruesome and horrible to show it that way than to show the face. Also, I think it would have been too much for the tone of the movie, but I think it's perfectly done.
It's wonderfully seeded in. It's
wonderfully seeded in.
You don't really question what the kind of significance of these shoes are until you see it, because then you just know.
Yes, and it breaks your heart even more, because not only are you seeing his mum hung, you're seeing all these lovely things they did together, the tie in the shoes, the dancing. You're being referred back to those scenes that we've seen before already with the close-ups of the shoes. And it's just a fucking incredible bit of filmmaking, because it hurts just that little bit more. You know what I mean?
Well, Scarlett Johansson was just wonderful in it, which just made it hurt all the more. I mean, the dinner table scenes, you know, with the... What was it? Not the boot polish, the...
The sort of ash, coal. The coal.
Yeah, the coal. Yeah. Making the moustache and stuff, and the impression she did of his dad, things like that. Oh, it was great. His dad, was that also Taika, or am I pulling that out of nowhere in the picture? Do they show a picture of his dad?
They sort of show a family photo.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But yeah, no, it's not his dad, no.
Oh.
No. Oh, because you imagined that his dad looked like it.
Well, no, it's an...
As far as I'm aware,
they actually call the imaginary friend Adolf. I don't think he's ever actually called Adolf Hitler. That's what all the spectators have done. But I believe he's actually credited as just Adolf.
Yeah.
So it could be that they'd share the face, because I doubt Jojo would have actually seen Hitler in person.
But we assume his dad's blonde, right?
Yeah, he must be going on the grandfather for grandfather. Yeah. Yeah.
There's little touches I like that. Do you know when Adolf comes back for the last time and he's got a bloody gunshot wound in his head? Like, I just love how he's... it's so well written because he feels like a 10-year-old kid's imaginary friend.
Absolutely.
Like, the way he gets the ump and like kicks the chair. like the
unicorn really shit as
yeah,
well.
Exactly,
yeah. I thought it was really clever with the poster how we do see the real Hitler's face.
Yes, yeah.
Melded with Tyker's, because obviously within this universe, this is the real Hitler.
Mm.
It's just driven home to us that the Adolf that we're seeing is Jojo's perception of what he is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a way of balancing the perception of Nazis in the film. It's just reminding us that we're seeing it through a very, very subjective lens,
yes,
through the lens of a child, which just establishes that it's, you know, we are looking at a specific part of World War II.
Yeah. We're looking at it. I think that's where people, I think, might be getting annoyed with the tone and the humour is. I think people forgetting we're watching it through the kid's eyes. That's why everything's so silly and over the top, is because we're watching it through this kid's eyes. It's very similar to, in a similar way, I guess, to something like Life is Beautiful, where the dad is sort of trying to make it out like the concentration camp is a playground for the kid to make him, you know, not understand the reality. Obviously, the film's not shot in the way that this is, but that's the concept of it, whereas we're actually seeing it through that kid's eyes. We're seeing it. That's why everything is heightened and silly. But then it will remind you now and then that this is real. That's what I felt.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard to talk about because I feel like you get to the point where you start repeating points. Do you know what I mean? But I think it's drum that across the way that we see it. Do you know what I mean? It's difficult.
It's difficult in a way for us as well because we're film fans. What bearing do we have on these massive issues?
Mm.
Because I think most of the criticism of this film doesn't boil down to the creative choices as this last review did. It is more of the just the question of should something like this be made? Can we make these jokes? And we might think they do, but a lot of people think they don't.
Mm.
And who's to say that they're wrong? You know, so I think it's fair enough to enjoy this film. It's fair enough to not enjoy this film. It's not fair enough to not enjoy this film because you thought the pacing was trash, because that's objectively wrong.
A lot of things are objectively wrong.
to Connor,
episode,
yeah, right.
I have the final review here.
Mm.
It is from Two Thumbs Down. So I'm guessing that the majority of their reviews
are
negative.
Negative, yeah.
This is a 0 out of 10. Awful movie that mocks the atrocities of a tyrannical leader by making him an imaginary friend. Almost felt like a metaphor for Holocaust deniers. The white skinhead with tattoos on his neck was laughing his ass off, but I walked out nauseated midway. Save your money, dignity, and self-respect. If you want this kind of garbage, go to a Trump rally.
Well, jeez. Two thumbs down. If you're going to review a film, at least watch the film, I'd say. But also, I think it's fair
to
say... They
watched half of it.
They watched half of it, so maybe they can give it half of a review. I feel like you should
stop
reading.
That's annoying because they've watched the half that's... You know what I mean? They've watched the half that's the very silly first half.
Yeah.
And not the half
not
where
the backbone.
It gets real. You know what I mean? So that's kind of annoying. Frustrating.
But also, he's talking about white skinheads, which obviously implies someone who is stupid. So if they're laughing at that film, then obviously they haven't got the point of it at all.
It's weird because you're a white skinhead with neck tattoos, aren't
that
you?
That is true. That is true. I'm also a very self-deprecating white skinhead with neck tattoos.
Exactly. For the listener, because you can't actually see him, he's not white skinhead with tattoos on his neck. He's a white film guy with the hair.
You can,
and a beard. Yeah,
you can absolutely paint a picture.
Yeah,
generic film student 3.
Yeah, pretty much. In that catalogue of Sims characters, you're the middle one.
Absolutely. It was always very easy to make a me.
I want to ask you guys, I mean, again, it's the same sort of points with this because, you know, this review, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I would like to talk about more about sort of us, sort of our favourite scenes and stuff. So is there any particular scene in this film that you feel like really resonates with you, or stuff that you, or it could be like moments that you keep connecting with? Because my favourite stuff in the movie, I really like the whole dynamic between Elsa and Jojo. All that stuff to me is so sweet, and like him making in the letters, writing them, and she knows the whole time that, you know, obviously because he's dead, that he's writing them. it's just really, it's some really sweet moments, and just seeing him slowly sort of give in and falling in love with her is, I just think, wonderfully done.
She is good for giving him the time of day, isn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, if someone did that to you and sent you a letter saying that your significant other was just done with you, yeah. I don't know if you'd really want to talk to that person. But then again, if you are living in their attic, you might have to. You might be forced a few times.
Yeah.
No, I love their dynamic. I thought it was great.
I agree. I think this as well is from, her understanding what his mum's like.
Yeah.
And realizing, and she knew him before. She said, because she was friends with the sister. She says, like, you're a good person. I've seen you. You're a good person underneath. Your mum's a good person. Your mum, we know this. She knows it's in him. She's just trying to bring it out of him, isn't she? So that's why she's giving him the time of day all the time.
Yeah, she's like, you're not a Nazi. You're just a kid in a fancy suit.
He likes to be in a club.
And, you know, she can see the good in him. I mean,
what is your scene? You didn't pick a.
I didn't pick a scene. No. I don't know. I feel like it might be a bit offbeat. I really liked all the Sam Rockwell and Alfie Allen stuff. Yeah, I just thought it was so funny. I mean, the person that I saw it with, my mate, he didn't get all of the sort of homoeroticism that was kind of building up throughout the film. When you see them sitting together a little too tightly in the swimming pool, you can kind of see where it's going. And then when he saves him at the end, it's just this kind of heroic sort of sacrifice, which I might get lamb blasted? Is that a word? Is that what? No.
Lampooned? I don't know. I don't know what Let's the just say next
destroyed.
Sentence is
going to
be.
Yeah. Destroyed for saying that about a Nazi character. But it was nice to see someone in that kind of inherently flawed position of being gay and a Nazi. And there would have been people like that.
Also, another thing that Hitler would not be happy about.
Not happy at all. He wasn't even Aryan.
Yeah.
He wasn't even Aryan. So, yeah, I thought that made for some very funny scenes.
Yeah, well, as well, I think that what do you think about the whole fact that he knew that she got the date wrong and he was helping him out? Like, what do you think the motive was behind that? Do you think he really didn't care about all the ideals? Because it's weird. He kind of talks about, but do you think he's putting on an act as the same way everyone else was? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know how he's like other Jews and stuff, but it's like at that moment he clearly knows that she's not the sister.
I think it's implied that he can relate to the struggle because he's in love with a man or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess we don't really see him come to that conclusion in any way.
Mm.
I was wondering if he might just have really bad eyesight and that's the joke they were going for.
That's also interesting. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
He might have actually just been able to read it.
Well, no, I always thought it was a combination of all of it. It's like, sure, maybe he didn't see it right, but also like when we're introduced to that character, he talks about how he's been stuck here at the camp because after like Operation Fuck Up, he lost his sight in one eye.
Yeah.
And like every time he's talking about the Nazis elsewhere, it's like, yep, and they're going to go, even though I think that they shouldn't because they're all going to get fucking killed. And it's like, this is a dumb fucking thing that we're all doing, but we have to do it because we've all been consigned. Yeah. Like, yeah, between the two of you, you've kind of stolen the majority of the movie with your quote unquote favorite scenes that spoke to you, leaving me only the ScarJo stuff, which was good. My big question, though, and it's less about ScarJo, but as we're on the topic, what's going on with people's accents in this film?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the cast list and not seeing all of them before. I was just trying to work out where everyone's from, and it's a big, big... There's a lot.
Yeah, but it's not even... Like, ScarJo's obviously putting on, like, a German accent sort of thing, but Jojo's friend.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good time to be a Nazi.
Bully is not doing an accent. I don't think Sam Rockwell is doing much of an accent either. Like, there's probably a bit of a twang, but nobody's really like some characters. They're trying to be German. I don't think Stephen Merchant is trying to be German though, if I remember correctly.
No, he was. Yeah,
he was. Okay. He was. He
that was probably
was.
The only one that I could have picked that was actually doing. But yeah, there was definitely a spectrum of, are we going to try an accent or not?
I see it was kind of like that Death of Stalin thing where they just didn't give a shit. It's more about taking the piss, I guess. I don't know.
It's one of those things that I think if you're German, then that's going to really upset you for good reason. Yeah. But they can get away with it, can't they? I mean, I'm sure a lot of these actors probably believe in not trying to mask their ability with putting on a fake sort of voice. You know, it could be very detrimental to what they're trying to bring. I guess it would have been nice to see more German accents, to hear more German accents.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's tough. Like back in the day, all war films were like that. People, it was just like James Coburn putting on a German accent or something. I feel like we've got better in terms of like something for like Inglourious Basterds, for example. That I mean, most of the movie is actually not in English, mostly subtitled. So it's like they felt a bit more real. Whereas this movie, obviously, it's not necessarily playing on the realness of it all. So I think it can sort of get away with it. But I do agree with you. It is a shame, I guess, in places. But
The thing is, should they be casting German actors in this? Because they've got some very big names attached, which I assume were integral to getting this film off the ground. But none of the main cast are German.
Yeah.
Which I think is an issue that's being highlighted in a lot of films set in foreign countries.
Yeah.
That just completely undermine, you know, that country's cinema industry.
That is a very good point that I didn't think about.
Yeah. That is true. I also do think as well that, you know, you can play different characters from different countries depending on, you know, like if it's just a case of an accent change.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or you know, speaking a different language. I think it's okay, like now and then. I just think it's like you said, when it's...
All of them.
Mm. But this movie, I think as well, I think Taika was specifically looking for people that could pull off the comedic aspect of it, but also the, you know, bring that heart to it at the same time. And not that like people, you know, in Germany couldn't do that, but I think obviously when he had it in mind, he was thinking of these actors when he was writing it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Potentially. We don't know what he was thinking. But we do know what we're thinking, and what I'm thinking is that this film is still pretty awful. Unless Connor can somehow make a recommendation review to the listener as to why anyone should actually watch this film.
Well, I think, as we said earlier, what's very key in reviewing a film or recommending a film is watching it first. So if you find yourself in the position where you really would like to review or recommend Jojo Rabbit, you should watch it. And that would be my own personal recommendation. Also, it's a very fun film.
What a terrible review. Hey guys, if you want to do a review, make sure you watch the film. That was it. And we're back at your favorite review is awful. Do you want to try that again?
I can give that a go. It's a heartwarming film. It's a funny film. And I think that you don't see the heartwarming aspect of it in the trailer. It's very much this sort of comedy, which it obviously is. But it surprised me throughout the film. I mean, you see a film about the Holocaust, I suppose you expect that. But then you're lured into this false sense of security that what you're seeing is overtly funny. But no, it's making good points. And it's shedding light on things that we haven't really seen. The whole children in the Hitler Youth sort of thing. And the perspective of a Jewish person throughout this whole thing going on. I think it's very interesting. And it just goes to show that you can tackle these subjects with humour. And you should be allowed to. But it requires a big degree of thought, and I think Taika Waititi was absolutely the person to do it.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
See, this is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Now let's see what Charlie's going to do.
I would totally agree with that as well. I think this movie is incredibly sweet. It's very funny. It's very hard to watch at times. It's sad, you know, with the realization of that this actually happened. But I think ultimately there's a sweet tale in there about ultimately a little boy learning empathy through this Jewish lady who's having to live a life in hiding. And that is the story that ultimately connected with me and what I think brings me to tears almost in places where it's... it's also very funny. It's very, very funny, this movie. It had me in stitches a lot of the time and then they're making me cry. And if a movie can do that, that's my kind of film. The film that can make me think, make me laugh, and make me cry. That's what I look for in a great movie. And I think this is truly a great film. I would recommend it if you're a fan of Taika Waititi's.
And if you aren't, why?
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. I would argue, I mean, I've seen all of his movies. And I would argue it is my favourite. I think it's his best movie. I think it's just topped Boy as my favourite of his. And yeah, I honestly, check this movie out. It's a great time. And it's a sweet movie, and also it makes you think about the horrors of what really happened. But yeah, Luke, what did you think?
Well, listeners, as I've gone on repeatedly, this film, I think, is awful. But in fact, I was doing a bit. The film is still in my top 10. It is fucking great. Mm. I agree with all of the positivity that you guys were saying and sharing with this film. Yes, it is a touchy subject matter. Yes, it could have delved deeper into those nastier areas to not deny the Holocaust or whatever that last review was saying. It could have done a lot of things differently. But what we got is a good package. We got a film that is viewable and enjoyable, and you can empathize to some extent, and you can watch Jojo become an actual human being rather than this child just being led by the hand. Is that what you said about children not knowing right from wrong? Like, they get taught something and then they think that's law. They think that's it. Jojo was a kid that got pulled into this club, into this, because he's not experiencing war. He's experiencing the indoctrination. Sort of romance, it's he's seeing the mind-washing stuff that was happening in Hitler Youth.
Yep.
So that's why we see that shit. Like, it makes sense.
It's part of the propaganda, isn't it?
Exactly. So, guys, go watch it. Go watch this film if you want. Like, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, don't leave a review.
No, we're not forcing you, but we're recommending.
Yeah, it's a recommendation. If you've got nothing on later, pop on Jojo Rabbit, assuming that you're listening to this when it's come out on some form of digital or physical disc. That's my, words.
Can I get a physical disc of this podcast?
No, watch the film on a physical disc. I mean,
we can hook you up with a physical disc.
We should burn this onto a thing.
Yeah, like, put it in like a time capsule or something, just in case the internet dies or...
That's fair. I've seen some things, like they put them on little USB tapes. It's great. Mm. Connor, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Charlie? For those at home that want to get in touch with us, how could they do such a thing?
They can find us on Twitter, @FaveFilmIsAwful. They can find us on Instagram, @FaveFilmIsAwful. And Facebook, @FaveFilmIsAwful. YouTube, @FaveFilmIsAwful as well. You can check us out everywhere. Please message us, subscribe, do all that jazz. We love hearing from you guys. People have been messaging us recently and it's been lovely to have chats with people. So please feel free.
It has been very nice. And just to let you know, the next episode, we'll have been doing this for a year. We're going to take a little break. This is your pre-warning before the episode comes out, and then you don't hear from us for a little while. So, you know, share it with your friends. Make sure everyone's listening so that when we come back, we'll still have an audience. That'll be good.
Yeah, we've got big things planned for you
guys. Big things planned. Listener, thank you for listening, and bye-bye.
Take care.
See you later.